today on Real Life Radio.
And we believe, as Christians, no matter what country we live in, that you should have a say. You should have an opinion, at the very least, on your knees before the throne of God in prayer regarding those who are going to lead and govern over your life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, hey everybody, this very special offer is amazing. Just wait till you see this. Just wait till you get your own copy in the mail. It's written by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. The title of the book is With the Word, and let me tell you, that will not disappoint, because it is a chapter-by-chapter Bible handbook. And, you know, it's about 6 inches tall and 3 inches thick. It is an amazing, exhaustive, but yet easy to read book that prepares you for every chapter of the Bible. Every chapter of the Bible has a brief overview of what that chapter contains. You're going to want to get a copy of it and enjoy it for yourself. With the Word, with Dr. Warren Wiersbe, the featured offer for this month.
With the Word by Dr. Warren Wiersbe is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues in a series called Politics and Your Faith with a message titled, Why Israel Matters. Now, when it comes to the nation of Israel, no other nation in history has been reborn except Israel. God blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who don't. And this is why this series is vitally important, especially when it comes to how we vote in the upcoming election. So we urge you to stay tuned. Now you see, Israel is God's centerpiece in the world today. It's always been God's plan to create a nation built on a promise, an everlasting covenant between God and Israel. To acknowledge Israel is to acknowledge the God of the Bible. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that other than God himself, there is nothing that touches our lives more than the influence of politics. Truthfully, we can't eat, sleep, or drink without some form of government involvement. But before we get into today's message, I had a chance to sit down with Pastor Jack for a few minutes just to talk about it. And so here's me with Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, being in the Politics and Your Faith series, let me throw this question at you. Why does Israel matter?
Israel is an interesting dynamic to figuring out voting and elections here in America. Because if you look at a candidate's view of Israel and how they have voted regarding Israel, you can see how they're going to vote and how they're going to make decisions on other issues. There's a genre that those who either pro or anti-Israel in Congress or in the presidency or whatever it is, it actually is very indicative. It's like a weather vane. It's like a weather vane. So, for example, if somebody is a president that's pro-Israel, I can tell you where they will be on defense spending. I can tell you where they will be on international policy. I can tell you where they will be regarding American business. It's quite remarkable.
Really?
So, but the bottom line is, in Genesis chapter 12, God tells us to be a blessing to Israel.
Yeah. Now, with his message called Why Israel Matters, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Last week, we looked at our biblical worldview in light of politics, and we thought that this would be a good time because we're in a political season, and major decisions are going to be made, by the way, that is going to affect your life and your children's life forevermore. And we believe, as Christians, no matter what country we live in, that you should have a say. You should have an opinion, at the very least, on your knees before the throne of God in prayer regarding those who are going to lead and govern over your life. Now, most churches, I understand that. Sadly, most Christians will never bring their belief system, their worldview, before this issue of politics. And yet, I want you to think about this for a moment. Politics literally affects every bit of your life to the nth detail. And I want you to think about that. Many people today will often pull the ripcord or press the cop-out button and say, I don't get involved in that stuff. And I kind of chuckle on the inside because they're already involved. How many of you buy gasoline? Raise your hands. Buy gasoline? You are being governed by political agendas. How many of you eat? Not so honest right now. Not as honest as gasoline. Listen, the FDA governs over what you can and cannot eat, how much it's going to cost, what's available to you. Did you know that? Governments regarding free trade argue and bicker back and forth and argue in the political realm regarding what's going to wind up on your kitchen table. Well, I don't get involved in politics. You're already involved. If you buy a car, if you wear clothes, if you drink water, if you own a home, if you rent an apartment, you are involved in the political process. It invades every part of your life. And listen, this is going to be quite shocking for you to hear. That's the way God intended it to be. We don't like the word politics, but we'll use the word government. There are three sacred institutions that God has established in the Bible. Number one, marriage. Number two, the church. Number three, government. Very interesting. Keep that in mind. Very important. Three sacred institutions. One particular relationship God has, that is God the Son, Jesus Christ, with his church. And the other particular relationship is God the Father with his nation or his people, Israel. And that is our topic tonight, politics and Israel. Last week we looked at politics. Why should a Christian care? Tonight we look at politics and Israel. And the next few weeks are going to be exciting, people, mind you. We're going to be looking at, obviously, tonight Israel. Then we're going to be looking at those three, that trinity of issues that we want to always look at regarding politics and debate and argument and voting. That is Israel, that is marriage, and that is the preborn. And so we're going to be looking at those things. So the next few weeks are going to be very, very exciting. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned?" This is profound. Listen to this. "It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under a foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house." Listen to this. This is a command. Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." I want you to look back up there a little bit at verse 13 again. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? The word is actually re-seasoned. You cannot re-season salt. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown down and trampled under the foot of men. I believe today, because for far too long, churches have espoused or adopted an apathetic Christianity and a zero existence biblical worldview, that today Christianity, the name of Jesus, church, your influence and mine has been trampled under the foot of men. Why? Because it's what it's deserved. In many aspects, the church and pulpits and Christians have been silent on issues that matter. And because of our disengagement, the saltiness of the church became saltless. And the church is mocked today, ridiculed and scorned. We are being trampled under the foot of men, as it were. And yet, I think in some ways we've placed ourselves there by being silent. We have not shown the light. We have not been that healing, strengthening, pleasurable salt that either enhances food or preserves things from going rotten. And salt's a great healer, by the way, as well. But we're looking at politics. And I gave you this verse last week, and we'll look at it again. God is not shy of politics. He understands it. In Proverbs 29, verse 2, we read that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Other than God himself, there is nothing that touches our lives more than this power of government or politics. It influences everything. And by way of introduction, mark this down or turn there. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. It's powerful stuff. The next time you get pulled over for breaking the law, that big red light shining in your rearview mirror, that officer pulls up, you just jump out of the car. No, don't jump out of the car. Just thank the officer when he writes you that ticket. Thank him. You just say, thank you for being God's servant and God's minister. He's going to think you're nuts. He might haul you in for that. But you're going to want to know this verse, because look at Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities," governments.
For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You resist arrest, and you're going to get tased, man. Or bro. It's going to hurt. God says so. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works. Rulers are not a terror to those who are doing the right thing. You're not afraid of the CHP when you're going 65, are you? No. It says, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? The answer is yes. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. Or thank God, in our state, it would be the pen, the ticket book, in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. You do pay your taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Well, that's for sure. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You cannot say tonight as a Christian, I do not get involved in politics, when the very taxes that you and I pay for the governing authorities according to the very will of God. It's amazing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Our biblical worldview tonight in light of Israel. Very hot topic today in the news, by the way, as it seems it is always. And let me say this. I wrote this down numerous times, and I want to make sure I get this across to you, because I had to write it down a few times to get it across to me. I wrote this down regarding our biblical worldview as Christians, and I want you to be thinkers tonight. If we really know our Bibles, if we are really studying the Word of God, and we are engaged in our culture, then I quote myself here, that there should be no greater expert on the historical, modern day, and prophetic significance of the Jewish people, the Jewish state, and the Jewish land than the Bible-believing Christian. There is no greater expert on the existence of the Jew, of Israel, and Israel's right to the land, but by or through or from the biblically based, the Bible-reading Christian. And I want you to think about that for a moment. You say, no, you gotta be kidding me. It's the Jew that knows all about this stuff. Strangely enough, no, it's not. You've got the Word of God, Christian. You understand more clearly than most of the Jewish people the things that we're gonna be looking at tonight. The things that are so politically incorrect, but are theologically essential. And I hope you're not threatened by that. When you come to the end of your life, you want to make sure that you've been theologically correct, not politically correct. Can someone say amen?
Yes.
What is that?
Preach it, brother.
I'm preaching it the best I can. So write this down in your notes. Israel, and I know that this is a big audience, so you may be here tonight and you say, I don't believe in Israel. That's okay. Just put this down in your mind. According to the Bible, Israel is God's centerpiece in a lot of ways. Israel is God's centerpiece. If you don't like what I just said, you can say that lunatic just said Israel is God's centerpiece. And we're going to look at the reasons why. And we are going to have our biblical worldview clear regarding politics and Israel. Number one is this. Write it down. God's message to the world is what? Is whom? Israel. Number one thing is Israel. God's message to the world, Israel. And I want you to mark that down. Now, granted, in just 50 minutes, we don't have the time to go through all the things that we could to argue this case. But mark this down. Past, present, and future, history is about Israel. You might say, well, that's just from your argument from a Western worldview. I understand where you're coming from. But that is actually not accurate. There are enough arguments in the Old Testament, for example, that cover the entire globe, the Oriental culture, the Asian culture. For example, one of those things I mentioned in a recent study regarding the flood. Every culture of every civilization has mention of a universal flood. Isn't that interesting? That comes from the God of Israel, from the Bible. Just that alone. But what about hematologically? Blood, the bloodline of humanity. Isn't it interesting that it doesn't originate in the Orient? It doesn't originate in Asia, does it? It's interesting. It doesn't originate in the Southern Hemisphere. It's interesting that hematologically, the study of human blood originates from the very place of what is known as the cradle of civilization. And from that point, civilization expanded. And you say, yeah, but that's not Israel. Good observation. We're coming to that in a moment. God's message to the world is Israel. The Bible says in Isaiah 66, verse 8, who has heard such a thing and who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. That promise from God is an announcement that Israel will have a history, past, present, and future, but it will be of divine origin. God will bring forth the nation of Israel, and God will cause it to be born or reborn in a day. What's interesting regarding the message to the world regarding Israel is President Harry Truman. In 1948, in May 14th, 1948, Israel was declared to be a nation again. No other nation has ever been able to do that. Israel has been declared by the United Nations to be a nation a second time. And oh, by the way, 11 minutes after the acknowledgement in the United Nations, President Harry Truman was the first nation, the United States, to acknowledge Israel's existence, and it influenced other nations, therefore, to vote for Israel's rebirth. And the prophet Isaiah, 2,700 years earlier, said, Israel, keep your eye on it. There's going to come a time when that nation will be born as a nation again in one day. And you can be an absolute skeptic today, but you cannot argue with the absolute facts. That is a United Nations global world fact. It is a historical fact. And it's interesting because it has everything to do with God's work with Israel, past, present, currently, and future. Very important. For example, Jesus Christ is going to return to Israel. He's coming again. And listen to this. If you go throughout the Middle East, predominantly, obviously, Arab nations, you will not find a map that has the name Israel on it. They can't do that. It's against their laws. It's against their belief system. I don't know if you know that or not. Some of you, maybe you'll have a Bible even, or some map that was produced in, say, Amman, Jordan, or it could have been in Saudi Arabia, which I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe it's a map, and there'll be no Israel on the map. There'll be something called Palestine on the map. How many of you heard of Palestine? Raise your hands. Okay, listen to this. It is important to note that to acknowledge Israel, you must acknowledge the God of Israel. And herein lies the problem. See, Pastor, I don't get into politics. It's too late. To acknowledge Israel, you have to acknowledge the God of Israel. We just now brought together the intercourse of logic and reason with God, the God of the Bible. That's a spiritual issue. And Israel, that's a political issue. God walks no fine lines up in heaven. Oh my goodness, I don't want to upset the ACLU, so I'm going to step over here now. No, he doesn't. Here's the problem. And let me tell you, it is a spiritual problem within every individual who denies the existence of Israel. It's not an intellectual problem. It's not a political problem. It's not a social problem. It's not an ethnic problem. It is a spiritual problem. For someone to say, I do not believe in Israel, you cannot say that without denying the existence of the God of the Bible. because the God of the Bible invented Israel. To acknowledge Israel, you must acknowledge the God of Israel, who is himself the God of the Bible. And the Bible acknowledges Israel more than any other nation in human history. There has never been an actual Palestinian person. By DNA, ethnic group doesn't exist. It's not my invention. But I will tell you this. We're going to put a picture up of a guy who did invent Palestinians. Go to the next slide, you guys. This is the man who invented Palestine. Anybody recognize him? Which Caesar is it? No, this is Caesar Hadrian, 135 AD. Hadrian. Mark it down, look it up. The Emperor Hadrian, Roman Empire, hated the Jews. He said so. He said, I hate the Jews. I want them removed from the face of the earth. In one of the military campaigns, this man had his troops once again invade Israel. They called it Israel. They called it Israel when they invaded Israel. Isn't that interesting? And when they got there and conquered it, this man issued a decree. By the way, you can read it in Rome, and you can read it at the Shrine of the Book in Jerusalem, and you can read it at the British Museum in London. Hadrian, documented fact, Hadrian declared or issued the decree to so obliterate the Jews and find out who their worst arch enemy was of all time. And listen to this. Are you listening?
Yes.
600 years before Hadrian showed up, the last Philistine died. Philistine. The Israelis' arch enemy, the Philistines. They had been gone from the earth for 600 years when Hadrian showed up in 135. He renames in the Latin tongue Palestine, Philistia, the land of the Philistines, to insult the Jews. And he said so. And from that time on, based upon Hadrian's declaration, people called the region Palestine. Prior to 1948, if you lived in Palestine, you were either an Arab or a Jew. But you had a Palestinian passport that was recognized in antiquity that way regarding your travels. But you were a Jew or you were an Arab. No one called there was not an Arab genetic Palestinian or a Jewish DNA or genetic Palestinian. The term Palestine originates in this man's heart. It never existed previously. You need to know that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Why Israel Matters. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Politics and Your Faith. It's a series on obeying God in all things, including politics, government, and our worldview. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, everybody, we are in that cycle again called an election year. And someone's going to be making decisions about your wallet, about your children, about your property tax, and about your freedoms, and how you're going to live your life. And I just want to encourage you. I personally would encourage you by saying this. I refuse to be a victim of bad government. Even if we have bad government, I'm not going to be victimized by it. And you shouldn't either, which means this, that you and I are monarchist. In other words, we believe in a ruling, reigning king. His name is Jesus, and he's coming back. But as we enter into this year, and you hear and you watch all of the news and all of the, frankly, noise that's out there, I'm going to ask you to be thinking biblically. I'm going to be asking you to process everything biblically. I'm going to ask you, in fact, I'll include myself, let's divorce ourselves from our emotions and let's get engaged in the culture for righteousness' sake. We represent the kingdom of God. Until he calls us home, It's incumbent upon you and I to get involved in righteous doing, which means vote righteously. That simply means that whoever's on the ballot and whoever you're voting for, look to see what their voting record is all about. Are they pro-life, for example? Because God's pro-life. Are they pro-Israel? Because God's pro-Israel. Are they pro-marriage? Because God's pro-marriage. You see what I'm saying, my friends? Is he pro-borders? Because God's pro-borders in his Bible. Pray, vote, and then pray for the outcome. But through it all, remember, Jesus is on the throne.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.